Been coming to this festival a long time. He's from St. Augustine, Florida. Yeah. His first folk festival was in 1967, and he was here as a guest of Gamble and Will, I believe it was, he told me. And he hasn't missed many folk festivals since then. He was one of the co-founders of the Gamble Rogers Folk Festival, which is held every spring. And the 12-string guitar, because he's sort of unique in that not a lot of performers that you see play a 12-string. But he does, and he does it quite well as well. He's a regular at festivals all over the state. You'll see him at Will McLean. You'll see him here at Gamble Fest, of course, and all over the state of Florida, and even up into other areas such as Georgia and Alabama and around. And we're glad to have him here tonight. He always does a good job. Please make him welcome Bob Patterson.
Check, 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 check. All right, this mic. All right, let's get new. I just don't hear it here in the monitor. You guys can hear me out there. It's okay. Yeah. See if my fingers are working here. You know, I've been down a lot of roads. Seems like everywhere I go, there's blues. Miles and miles of blues. You know, the Delta ain't the only place you might find sorrow on some face. There's blues. Miles and miles of blues. Chicago to St. Louis, down to New Orleans. Trouble has no trouble finding everywhere in between. Might be in the country, might be in the town, might be 'cause the news just hit, the factory's running down. You know, up in West Virginia, in the cold, cold mines, they got blues, miles and miles of blues. From Buffalo to Baltimore, talk about hard times, they got the blues, miles and miles of blues. It ain't just St. Louis, or get down to Kansas City. Trouble has no trouble finding everywhere in between. 'Cause the blues are in Miami, the blues are in St. Paul, dirt roads to the LA freeways, the blues has found us all. You know, the good news is there's music to ease our worried minds when we got the blues, miles and miles of blues. 'Cause there's nothing like a guitar crying in the night when you got the blues, miles and miles of blues. When you got blues, miles and miles of blues. Well, it's a treat to be here tonight, folks. I turned 65 this year. Finally getting my brain cells down to a manageable number. You know, folks start treating you differently when you're 65. Yep. Now when my friends call me up after 9 o'clock, they go, "Hey, I wake you up?" All them pretty little girls in the bar rooms now, they call me sir. Even my wife, the morning of my birthday, I go walking out into the kitchen. She's cooking breakfast. She says, honey, you got to make love to me right now. The far out. Hey, what's that all about? She said, oh, the egg timer's broken. Ah, but it ain't all bad, folks. I mean, after all, in Florida, when you're 65, you no longer have to pay for a fishing license. And I'm getting those Social Security checks once a month. Getting that Social Security sex. It's where you get a little every now and then, but not quite enough to live off of. So I was on the old marble stage this morning. One of them newspaper fellas come running up to me. He said, hey, Bobbachew Bob. You know, that's what they call me. He said, how did you get started in show business? Well, folks, I got out of the Navy in mid-1960s and went to work for one of those New York agents who like to send performers out on one-nighters across the country. One night, California. Next night, Chicago. Next night, Miami. The only problem with that being is I had to drive in between gigs. I had a little Italian sports car, an Innocente. If you've ever seen one of those Fellini movies, you've seen the car. So I finished a concert at the University of Kentucky one night and had to go to Philadelphia. 8 degrees above zero. That car didn't have a heater. After driving about 6 hours, I was frozen stiff just outside of Zanesville, Ohio. Figured I'd pull in a truck stop there and thaw out. Now, from that same car, I had a brand new 12-string guitar stolen from me one time. And instead of cutting the hole in the roof right alongside the door so you could put your arm down inside, lift up the handle, open the door, take the guitar out that way, they made the hole in the roof big enough to lift the guitar out through it. So it's always been my policy, wherever I go, this old guitar goes with me. Into the truck stop there at Zanesville. Folks, this is 1960s. I had long hair. The place was filled with all kinds of truck drivers. They took one look at me shivering in the doorway with my arm around this guitar, and they thought I looked strange. Walked it over to the counter, ordered me a hot cup of tea. They knew I was strange. I didn't have time to explain to them. I tell them it was part of my English heritage, much less what happens to my stomach when I drank some of that roadside coffee. Wasn't long before one of those old truck drivers walked up to me. He said, hey, boy, you picked that thing? Yes, sir. How about you pick it for me right now? My hands are too cold. I can't play that guitar. And then another truck driver, you one of them hippie communist freaks go around smoking all that alternative tobacco? Son, we want to see you pick something on the guitar. My hands are too cold, man. I can't play that guitar. And well, folks, another truck driver and another. Gradually, I began to thaw out from an external source of heat. Besides that, one of them knew how to strike home. He walked up to me, pulled out his top-grade cowhide swank billfold, pulled out a brand-new $20 bill, laid it on the table. Followed it with a brand-new $10 bill. I'm going, hey, keep those cards and letters coming, babe. Next thing you know is those tobacco-stained fingers of his rambling around the pocket of his Big Mac work shirt. He came up with a $5 bill, rolled up so tight, God only knows what he was snorting through that thing. But there it was, $35 on the table. All those bloodshot, burly blue eyes on me. One of those boys said, son, if you can pick under the double eagle, that money's yours. So they know Lothar was strange that I was drinking hot tea and broke out a little moonshine to help thaw me out. A couple of sips off that mountain ambrosia, I started doing a request. Played a whole bunch of them Hank Williams and Merle Haggard tunes, and I was having a good time. But, you know, I was on a tight schedule, so I picked up my guitar, was making it out the doorway, and that's when Homer Bull Teeter walked up to me. Folks, those truck drivers had the finest names I'd ever heard of. People like Hempstead Creasley, Marcus Feitz, Tola Summerlin, Foggy Dell. Homer Bull Teeter is the one who'd walked up to me earlier and said, "You one of them hippie?" He followed me out to my car. "How far you got to go, boy?" "Philadelphia." "Well, it's a long way. You better wait here." He walked over to the cab of his Jimmy Diesel truck, came back with one of those Flying Dutchman tobacco tins, ones that are about that thick, unscrewed the cap, laid before my eyes the wildest assortment of pills I'd ever seen in my life. "Here, take one of these. You make your mouth dry, know you high. You can do 6 months driving in 30 seconds. I learned two things that night. I learned why truck drivers can't do 55. And I learned that the beautiful thing about playing music is that it enables you to transcend all kinds of social situations. If I could only reuse time, oh, I'd go back 100 years to a place where I could listen to the lullaby of the rivers. For now and then there will arise out of the waters Indian spirits to tell me how they got their names and sing the lullaby of the rivers. Come on, help me out. Oklawaha, Itchituckney, Ekenfina with Lacoochee, Apalachicola, Wakulla, Wassisosilla, Caloosahatchee, Kissimmee, Ocklockney, Choctahatchee, the Conallahatchee and the Swanee are singing the lullaby of the river. You have ears enough for listening. You can hear what they are saying. You can hear them all singing the lullaby of the rivers. The moving water makes the music. The pureness creates the healing. The reflections give up the secrets to the lullaby of the rivers. Oklawaha, Itchituckney, Ekenfina with Lacoochee, Apalachicola, Wakulla, Wassisosilla, Caloosahatchee, Kissimmee, Ocklockney, Choctahatchee, the Conallahatchee and the Swanee are singing the lullaby of the river. Oklawaha, Itchituckney, Ekenfina with Lacoochee, Apalachicola, Wakulla, Wassisosilla, Caloosahatchee, Kissimmee, Ocklockney, Choctahatchee, the Conallahatchee and the Swanee are singing the lullaby of the river. Thank you so much, folks. It's a fun song. The only way you're going to learn the words to it, you have to type out all the names of the river and just tape them to the refrigerator. I opened for Richie Havens one time, and Richie came back. He said, "I really like that song, but what language is that?" So after that trouble with that New York agent thing, I started out on my own, and traveling all over the country. And I ran out of money in St. Augustine, and spent the first night sleeping out there on the beach, and heard about a bar downtown called the Trade Winds Tropical Saloon, where they hired people that did the kind of things that I did. So I went in there that night, and Jimmy Blue and Paul Champion were on stage playing, and they introduced me to Duke and Tony, the people that owned the place, and I did an audition, and to make a long story short, the end of the night, I had a gig playing six nights a week for the next 6 weeks. Met all kinds of wonderful people that many of them became lifelong friends. Now, two people that I met in that room that night that did become lifelong friends. Now, I knew when I first met them that they were very special people, but never in my wildest imagination would I have ever thought that both of these gentlemen would someday be voted into the Florida Artist Hall of Fame. Folks, no easy thing for a folk singer. I'm talking, of course, about the legendary Will McLean, the man who wrote over 1,000 stories and songs and poems about Florida. Wonderful festival in his honor in March every year. And, of course, our own Gamble Rogers, wonderful singer, songwriter, storyteller, who gave up his life trying to save a drowning man. It was in November. A nor'easter was blowing a time. Nobody should have been in the water, but this gentleman from Canada was in the water. He was in trouble, and his daughter went running up to Gamble, and she said, "Mister, can you go help my dad?" Gamble took out his wallet, laid it in the sand, took off his trousers, and we all lost one of the best friends we ever had. The state of Florida lost one of its great ambassadors. So on the first weekend of every May, this year we had a very successful 11th annual Gamble Rogers Folk Festival. And if you've never been there, put it on your list and please come. We'd love to have you. So ever since Gamble and Will were voted into the Florida Artist Hall of Fame, now people ask me what it was like riding around Florida more than 30 years ago with Gamble and Will. It was a lot of fun. Gamble had this old Ford Mustang when it came off the showroom floor. It must have been a real pretty coral green. But folks, this was a car that was rode hard and put up baked in the Florida sun. And that coral green had kind of faded to the color of split pea soup. We had to get it up to 60 miles an hour just to get the headlights come on. Had bad brakes, so we had to put in a loud horn. Gamble had congenital rheumatoid arthritis in the front seats and those things. And that Mustang would never do, so we yanked him out and installed these big leather seats from a Lincoln Continental. Gamble would come pick me up at my house behind the old sugar mill there in St. Augustine. We'd drive on down to the Trade Winds Tropical Saloon, pick up Will. Will would get in the back seat with the guitar and start singing songs and telling stories about Florida. Now, if Will had too much to drink and couldn't play the guitar, we'd let him drive. Those were different times, folks. We drive on down to Bunnell, hang a right turn on Highway 11, take that beautiful road that goes down through the woods towards DeLand. Remember one time we're crossing over Middle Hall Creek, whole bunch of cattle grazing in the water line, but, well, what really had my attention was this bull. He was roaming around the pasture in a sporting manner, a manner that would lead the most casual observer, if he were a man, to be a bit envious. I said, "Gamble, I wonder what it is they're feeding that bull." Gamble said he didn't know the name of it, but it kind of tasted like chocolate. We drove on down the Highway 40, hung a right turn, and drove on over to Ocklawaha County, right through downtown Bean Creek, past the Baby Grand Theater, past the Unitarian Church. That's the one with the lightning rod on it. Will says those Unitarians trust the Almighty in all things except electricity. We headed on out back side of town, driving through the woods a little bit until we saw a little blush of neon coming through the pines. And so we came across the Terminal Tavern, a hangar-like structure surrounded by an acre and a half pickup trucks, chrome trailer hitches glittering in the starlight, some encapsulated with phosphorescent tennis balls. Had a hitching post out front for the good old boys who still rode horses. And they had a big, ugly bouncer at the door to check to see if you had a gun or a knife. And you didn't have one, he gave you one. And we go inside and hang out with all those wonderful characters from Bean Creek, Snipes Ford, people like old Agamemnon, Jones, Still Bill, Downwind Dave, Sheriff Hutto, Proudfoot. And, you know, there's a bunch of young'uns there now. I don't know what it is about young folks to think they got to be playing tricks on us old guys. A few days earlier, Downwind Dave was in there having a bowl of his favorite chili. And when he wasn't looking, the Arendelle boys mixed in a little bird shot with it. Next day, he's out raking his lawn, bent over to tie his shoe and shot his dog. I wasn't hurt that bad. It's just an air gun. And old Agamemnon Jones, he's getting all liquored up in there one night. Arendelle boys went outside and turned the saddle around on his horse. You should have heard him. He's riding all over Ocklawaha County telling everybody the Arendelle boys had cut off his horse's head. And Margaret said, "You stupid old fool, if that was true, how'd you get home?" He said, "Well, I had to steer the horse by sticking my thumb on the horse's windpipe." So it's Saturday night at the Terminal Tavern. I'm up on stage, folks. I'm behind chicken wire. Everything's okay. Everything's going fine. They're doing that dance known as the alligator. Everything's cool. That's when I noticed out of the corner of my eyes the Terminal Tavern bouncer coming towards the stage. Chester the Molester. 6'6", 350 pounds, an IQ 2 points higher than Bean Dip. He's covered with tattoos, death before dishonor. My daddy was a truck driver. On his chest in big Aryan Gothic letters, "Let them that don't want none have memories of not getting any." He looked up at me and he said, "Son, we don't want to hear any more of that belly rubbing music. We want to hear dueling banjos." Everyone hollered out, "Yoo-hoo!" I said, "Well, Chester, didn't bring a banjo with me this time, you know. But, you know, the next time I come down here, pal, I'll bring you a banjo. I'm going to play that all night long for you, okay, man?" "Son, I don't think you heard me." I said, "We all want to hear dueling banjos." Everyone hollered out, "Yoo-hoo!" So I started to calculate my distance to the door. And when I figured I couldn't make it, it's when I had an epiphany. Sometimes necessity is the mother of invention. I said, "Well, Chester, folks, that place got as quiet as a church. Old Chester looked up at me, gave me a big smile. He had summer teeth. Some were there, some were there. He said, "Oh, pick it for me, white trash." I said, "Okay, Chester, I'm going to play you both parts." God bless you. Thank you so much.